quarter on a Wednesday.
Hump day.
Hump day. Yeah, that's right. We're halfway through this thing. Going to be a nice day out there today before we have to deal with a little bit of crappy weather coming up this weekend. Hopefully it's like the end of it.
No, it's not.
It's not?
No, not yet. Not yet. It's no, we have some more coming. Just okay. A little bit. It's going quickly. All good.
That's right.
We could use the moisture.
Okay.
Hopefully we get some rain, a little snow. I mean, we're already getting fire warnings.
Really?
A couple days ago. Yeah, because of the wind.
Yeah,
it's been dry. So we could use it.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. We're just paying our taxes.
That's right.
Got to keep remembering
that's what we
that.
Do. That's what we do.
All right. We know the Lakers are coming to the Mile High City. They will be back. It'll be a rematch of the Western Conference Final. And here's what it's going to look like. Game one's coming up on Saturday. Kev's birthday. They're playing for you, Kev. That's at 6:30 on ABC. Game two, Monday could be interesting. Because the rumors are that the Avs open up against the Jets game one, round one, on Monday evening. Game two for the Denver Nuggets will be April 22nd as well. That's a late one. This is how it's going to work in round one. 8 p.m. start. So closer to 8:15. Game three, they're going to get multiple days off because the series will shift to Los Angeles.
Okay.
So that won't come until Thursday.
So you got 2 days off.
And that's the night of the NFL draft.
Wow.
So game three in L.A. is going to go up against NFL draft round one.
Wow.
I don't think I like that.
Man, wait a second. No.
Just for our viewing purposes specifically, I actually hate that.
Well, what time does the game start on Thursday? Please tell me.
Oh, 8 o'clock.
Okay.
8:15 is when it'll actually start. So the Broncos will have already made their pick.
Right. Yeah, because what time does the draft start here?
Usually around six.
Okay. All right. So, yeah. So the Broncos will make their pick, and then I'm good after that.
Okay.
Like, I just need to see – the Broncos pick. I need to see, like, the first half of the draft, really, is all, and certainly the Broncos. So if you can accomplish all of that and then just roll right into the Nuggets game, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's good. But might end up being a perfect night.
Yeah, I was going to go down to Dove Valley for the draft, too. Do I still do that? Are they going to have the game on for me?
No, probably won't have the game on for you.
Okay. I might have to bail on that then.
Yeah, you might have to bail on that.
Because I want to watch both.
Right.
Like, I don't want to just be stuck down there with the Broncos media. And
maybe they'll have the game on. But are you going to stay for the whole game?
No.
Right.
No.
So.
Yeah. We're going to have to talk about that.
Yeah, but I look, it's here. We know who it is, the Lakers. You're paying no respect to them.
Absolutely
not. At all. I'm putting respect on them. I am. And it's because of greatness. You can like him, you can hate him, whatever. LeBron James is great, right?
I agree.
Obviously a special player. And anytime you have that type of player on your team, whether it be a Peyton Manning, a Tom Brady, a Michael Jordan, you know, it's – you got to be careful against those guys, right? And so that's what concerns me. You're talking about an all-time great. It's like, all right, you know, maybe the team around him isn't this or that, or he's not what he once was, but it's still, you know, we saw Peyton Manning win one late. We saw Tom Brady win one late. I mean, they just know how to get it done. And that's what concerns me. I can't ignore that concern. Do I think the Nuggets have the better team? Yes. Who's going to get the calls? You know the Lakers are going to get the calls.
Of course.
Except all those little things they're going to get. And so that's why I'm a little concerned about the Lakers. And then also I can't forget, you know, what this team looked like against the Spurs.
The Nuggets.
The Nuggets and how they blew that victory blew that game and double, you know, up by over 20 points, 23 points and 22 points, whatever it was.
It was 23,
yeah. Yeah, and lost that basketball game. And so it's just like, all right, I don't know. I might be overthinking this, being too nervous. I would have been probably nervous about any team.
Yeah.
But that's why, especially a team with LeBron.
I mean, you go back to the series last year, despite it being a sweep, it was closer than, you know, some of the scores may indicate. Game one, the Nuggets won by 6. Game two, the Nuggets won by 5. Game three, they won by 11. And then in game four, obviously with the Lakers fighting for their lives, they only were able to win by 2. So they are tight series. But you go back to the Nuggets' 8 straight wins. They've, in fact, won 11 of the last 15 games that they've played and only lost one time on their home hardwood in 4 years against these Lakers. Also, still go back to the Western Conference Final. Nicola always plays well in the postseason, ramps his game up. He averaged 27.8 points, 14.5 rebounds, and 11.8 assists per game. That's what he did against the Lakers in the postseason. And I would expect pretty much those exact same numbers when it's all said and done in five games after this series.
I hope you're right. But what I hear from you, like, I've been scarred.
Yeah.
In my, you know, sports career, my sports life, where, like, we whipped a team in the playoffs, or excuse me, we whipped a team in the regular season only to play them in the playoffs and get beat. Mm. We've owned a team. And, you know, look at the last 2 years, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's a different year. You lose. And so, like, all right, you give me a lot of good stats about last year. You know, that series sweep, that was great. Yeah, mm-hmm. I watched it. I was there. But this is different. This is new. This is something totally different. They're a little bit different teams. And you said, you know, like you said, there were some close games there. A five-point NBA game is that's a very close game, folks. Right? That's a bucket here or not a bucket here, mm-hmm. there. Right? And so it just has me a little bit nervous here looking at the Lakers and just thinking that because we have owned them, which we have, you can't, I mean, they're going to be extremely motivated. Can they be any more motivated because of the smack talking that was going on last offseason at the parade, and then more so when Michael Malone, we can't forget Michael Malone kind of called out LeBron. Remember during the finals, yeah. when LeBron said, I think he was making it about him.
Yeah.
And Michael Malone called him out about that. So
remember we talked about retirement.
Yes. So, like, is there, can you be any more motivated because it is the Nuggets? They did knock you out. Michael Malone and some of the Nuggets were kind of smack talking, mm-hmm. talking a little trash. I don't know. It just has me worried that everyone's just thinking, like, ah, yeah, it's the Lakers. It's easy.
I get that. But I could be super, like if Mark Schlereth talked a whole bunch of trash to me and was, you know, beat me down every time, that would probably motivate me a lot. But guess what I could never do?
Beat him up.
That's right.
I thought you might have a chance. He's not.
Like
he's not
10 years,
big.
Maybe?
He's not that big, dude. I think one day you just come in here and try him.
Just sucker punch?
Yeah, sure. You'd probably miss, and then he's going to grab a hold right. of you. And right. You saw what he did to DeHuff, right?
I know, yeah.
Could you imagine?
Like, I miss, punch you in the ear, right. and then you're both beating my head.
Yes.
You know what?
Yes, perfect. Perfect.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, I could be as motivated as
right.
I want.
Yeah.
I don't possess that skill.
No, you're right. You're right.
And
you're right.
I believe that the Denver Nuggets are Mark Schlereth, and the Los Angeles Lakers are me. They don't possess that skill.
I love it. I hope you're right, you know, and that's why you play the game. We'll yep. see what it looks like. You got home court. You need to start off fast, like the Nuggets did, you know, pretty much all of last year, and put the pressure on the Lakers. So mm-hmm. it's here, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what time on Saturday, right?
6:30 on ABC.
6:30 on ABC Saturday. I can't wait, man. I'm so excited about this, and it is the Lakers. I know you wanted the Lakers the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
We got the Lakers.
I'm so fired up.
And here we go.
One texter just wrote, don't forget Denver fans are classless enough to chant, who's your daddy? Was that classless or awesome?
No, that was awesome.
Because I'm going with awesome also.
Yeah, definitely awesome.
Yeah, you got to clean up what classless means, my
yeah.
man.
Yeah, that's being great fans.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what we do.
Reading the room. All right, we will take a timeout. I do want to hear a little bit from LeBron. In fact, we'll do that when we come back. We'll get LeBron's impressions on this Nuggets series, and I want to hear a little bit from Stephen Curry, too, about his ability to rebuild, be a contender, still up there in Golden State. That's next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Let's hear a little bit from LeBron James. LeBron James and the Lakers are coming to Denver to take on the Nuggets in round one. Game one, it'll be Saturday at 6:30. Let's hear from LeBron on how he's feeling early on about this Nuggets series.
Preliminary thoughts, as the defending champion. They know what it takes. They know how to win. They've been extremely dominant in their home floor over the last few years. You know, they got an MVP on their team. They got a closer on their team. They got high-level players, high IQ players. They got a hell of a coach. So, you know, we have to play mistake-free basketball, make it tough on them. They're going to try to make it tough on us, obviously. But it's going to, if we can play our, as great as a game we can play, they're going to play as great as a game they play. It's going to come down to one or two possessions, you know, and we'll see who executes them.
Okay, was the microphone being passed around as they were answering the question there?
Yeah.
What was going on with the sound there?
I don't know. That was odd.
But you hear the answer, right? It's he's saying all the right stuff. He's giving respect even to Malone there, talking about a hell of a coach in Coach Michael Malone. And I think LeBron's right, Stoke, as much as I'm having some fun. And look, I don't really fear the Lakers, but it is going to be tight games. They're not just going to roll over and let the Denver Nuggets just destroy and dominate them. And we talked about it with what the series was a year ago. Every game was tight, really, outside of one, and I think it was that game three. You're going to have to battle. It's not going to be as easy, even in round one, even versus these Lakers, than it was for these Denver Nuggets. But it still doesn't change how I feel about the outcome.
Yeah, I think, of course, LeBron is saying the right things. And, I mean, how can you not? I mean, the Nuggets have dominated them lately, and they knocked them out last year, and they won it all. But he's 100% spot on. Like, I mean, it comes down to a couple possessions. That's really the NBA, right? I mean, you don't see it, especially in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Going to be close games and, you know, who gets a stop, who makes a bucket, mm-hmm. you know. And last year, you know, the Nuggets were great at doing all of those things. And so we'll see this year. Different year. I'm a little bit more concerned than you. I feel like I'm being too nervous. Too anxious. I'm looking, you know, for something to be nervous about here, and maybe I should just take a chill pill and just like, all right, we got Jokic, we got Murray, we got Porter, Caldwell Pope, Aaron Gordon. I mean, that ought to make me feel a little bit better. But
yeah.
When you're going up against LeBron and the greatness that is LeBron, which he is, it's all the other stuff that comes with that too. The fouls, this, that, you know,
you're right.
It's that's what has me nervous here. But I just can't wait for this to get started. And it would. And I'm with you. Like, Laker fan is obviously a national brand. Yeah. And they pop up out of nowhere. It's like, dude, how are you a Laker fan?
Right.
And there were so many in the locker room. Like, it's just guys are just like, wait, what?
Really?
You love Magic Johnson. Oh, and Kareem. Oh, okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, right. So it was annoying then. It's annoying now.
Yeah.
And it is always fun to kind of to smack him around a little bit beat him. And then you hear people like Brian Windhorst, like you mentioned earlier. That was the best sweep that a team has ever done.
Yeah.
Or whatever he said.
Right.
I mean, like, what do you mean? They got
swept.
It's
the best team to ever be swept in the NBA
playoffs.
Yes, there
you go. A little bit better said than me. I mean, like, what? Like, no one has ever thought about that before, Brian. But that's what he says about the Lakers after the Nuggets swept them last year.
Yeah, it was not good. You know what else I wanted to ask you this? Were you nervous, Nelly, in your own games? Like, if you're getting ready to play a big game and you, maybe it's a team that you've had some beef with, or not beef, but battles with in the past, like, how did you feel going into that game?
Well, I mean, I always felt pretty much the same.
Like, ready to roll?
No, very anxious. I mean, that's – so it didn't really matter.
Okay.
It was always kind of the same, you know, just because you want to go out there and do well,
yeah.
Perform well and play well and have a good game and stay healthy, all of those things, right? So I think for me that was kind of, you know, my thought process pretty much every game.
I mean,
the bigger the game, obviously more on the line, but it was kind of the same thought process whether it was a regular season game or a playoff game or a Super Bowl. You want to go out there and play well. So, yeah, there was like a lot of anxiety for me. I probably should have been on medication.
Did you ever throw up from anxiety, from being anxious?
No.
Really?
No, never threw
anybody
up.
Anybody in the locker room?
I'm trying to think. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think so. Not a lot, though. Not a lot. I can't really recall the names. I just remember,
it was there.
Yeah, it was there.
Because I had my buddy Miles, who I threw that lob to freshman year.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He would throw up like before every game. But he was our best player. So I'm like,
right.
He's probably anxious because he got to carry our bum, you know what, throughout the game.
So did you try to make yourself throw up so you could be like Miles?
Exactly. I'm like,
me too, Miles.
So nervous.
Me too, Miles.
Right. But then, like,
look at us two.
A few years ago in my old man rec league, I had a buddy Rob that would throw up before every game. I just assumed that's because he was ripping heaters in the parking lot before the game started.
Yeah, he's not nervous. He just drank too much and smoked too much. Yeah, right. That's why Rob was throwing up.
So to each their own,
I guess.
That's
right.
When it comes to that sort of stuff. All right, I do want to get into some Broncos. In fact, we're going to have a conversation about almost like worst case scenarios, what could shake up the draft and how it could have impacts on the Broncos. We're going to do that. I got to tell you about the Fan Flyaway first. Thanks to our friends over at Sport Clips, this thing is back. And it's better than ever. This time, you're going to get to go. If you win, you and a guest are going to get to go to a road game in June for the Pro Basketball Championship. Obviously, we hope the Nuggets are also joining you on that road trip. Here's what you're going to get if you win. 2 tickets to the game, round-trip airfare for 2 from Denver to the destination to be determined, 2 nights hotel stay, and $500 for you to spend while you're out there watching the Pro Basketball Championship. To sign up, go to denversports.com/thefanflyaway. Register right there and claim your special offer from Sport Clips while you're there. If you already registered back in February when we do the Fan Flyaway to Vegas for the big game, you are already a part of this club. You don't have to register or sign up again, and you're already in for future Fan Flyaway contests. Same rules here. If you sign up today, you're in for our future Fan Flyaway contest, which will be going on all year long. And if you've already signed up, well, tell the wife, tell the husband, tell the boyfriend, girlfriend. They should sign up because it does include a plus one. So get to denversports.com/thefanflyaway. Register today and claim that special offer from Sport Clips. When we get back, let's talk about things that could go wrong in the draft, things that could happen that would shake it up and maybe have an impact on the Broncos picking way down at 12. That's coming up next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
All right, what could shake up the 2024 NFL draft? It's 8 days from today. We're going to hit you with our mock drafts tomorrow, what Stoke and I think happens in the first 12, 13 picks. But what could change or have a trickle-down effect for the Broncos, who we obviously care about with what happens on Thursday night's first round? So there's a couple things I have here I want to throw at you. We'll have the conversation, and then Broncos country, you join us on the RamosLaw.com text line. It is 303-713-1043. Join us right there. All right, so a couple of things I'm thinking about here. What if it's Jaden Daniels that gets out of the top three? I haven't seen a lot of those mocks. In fact, I don't think that I've seen any mocks that have Jaden Daniels getting out of the top three. So this is certainly the hypothetical conversation. But what if it's him that falls? What does that mean for Denver? How does that affect the other teams that are ahead of the Denver Broncos?
I think, with what he can do in the pocket and outside the pocket, you do whatever you can to move up to try to go get that guy if it happens that way, which, you just never quite know. What it just takes one team to – like one different guy, and the next thing you know, hey, he might be falling to 4 or 5, and you got a chance to get him. So that's why all these teams, that's why you do your due diligence on all these quarterbacks, because you never quite know, and you want to be ready to go. But for me, I mean, the guy won the Heisman Trophy, played at LSU, had a great last couple of years, and this past year was special. I think you do whatever possible to go up and get him. What would you feel about that?
I would feel the same way. Jaden is – I mean, obviously outside of Caleb, but that's unattainable. I think for me, Jaden is the most intriguing quarterback of these top six that we're talking about. And then even the top three, if it's just Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May. So I am very intrigued by Jaden, and I would be with you. I'm super hesitant to give up multiple first-round picks. But, that night, if it starts to feel and fall that way, I would certainly be picking up the phone and having the conversation for sure. And then the other question, like if Drake May falls, all this means that J.J. McCarthy went top three, right?
Most probably, unless, as our guy Ben
Bolin from the Boston Globe
told us earlier, there's some buzz going around there of a possible trade New England-Chicago Bears. Chicago Bears leapfrog Arizona to get the top receiver on the board, which is Marvin Harrison Jr. probably, and the Patriots trade back. So you could see that kind of scenario where, hey, all of a sudden if Chicago does that, New England drops back to 9, now you have a receiver going maybe 3 and 4. if Arizona stays pat at four and takes a receiver in that spot. So now you could have a quarterback fall into 5-6. And so that's the thing. That's what makes it so fun. You just don't know how it's going to shake out. The whole time I'm thinking that quarterbacks are going to go 1-2-3, maybe 1-2-3-4. But there's scenarios out there where, you know, Chicago got the first pick and the ninth pick, where they use that ninth pick and try to move up and get that quarterback of the future, but also that wide receiver of the future to pair him with that quarterback. And you could see that playing out that way possibly because, hey, Patriots have a lot of needs. It's not just – they're not a quarterback away. So maybe they're going to try to gather more draft capital. And maybe they love a guy like Bo Nix.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll take him at nine. There's some scenarios out there where a quarterback, you know, it's only two quarterbacks in the top four that go. And it could be four quarterbacks in the top four.
Man, if the Bears pulled that move off, you get Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison Jr., you added, who do we say earlier?
Keenan Allen.
Yep. And you already have DJ Moore. I know Caleb's, there's a lot dependent on a young man being the quarterback, but that sounds like a team that would be ready to make some noise in year one, right?
It does, yeah. It certainly does. I mean, especially the way they finished off last year.
Mm-hmm.
If they were able to accomplish that, obviously that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to help that young quarterback as much as possible, and you would say, hey, that's so far so good by putting, you know, and their tight end's a good tight end. Cole Kmet
is a
really good player too. So there's some weapons there for a guy like Caleb Williams if it plays out that way.
Here's what I think would be the biggest shakeup, and I actually think this has some a legitimate chance, easy for me to say, of going down.
And I don't think that scenario will play out.
I don't either.
Like that right there. I think New England stays where they're at and takes a quarterback. Mm-hmm. I don't care how many other needs you have. You're not planning on picking the top, you know, three every year.
Right.
If a quarterback's there that you like, you take that quarterback, and I think that's what they'll do.
I do too. What I think would shake up the draft the most and certainly have an impact on the Denver Broncos at 12 is the New York Giants at 6 taking a quarterback.
Yeah.
And let's think about this. What if they move up? What if it's the Giants that move up from 4 to 6 and it's a simple trade with Arizona? Arizona adds a little bit of capital, and the Giants know that they're in front of Minnesota. So what if it is that? What if it's Caleb, Jaden, Drake, the Giants make a jump to go get JJ, and then now you're sitting at 5 through 12 with Minnesota, Denver, let's go through 13 because Las Vegas will be right behind them, and only Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. left. I think that's a real play and screws up a whole bunch of people after 6.
Yeah, no, it certainly does. If the Giants take a quarterback, that's a that would be a big negative for the Denver Broncos. You don't want the Giants taking a quarterback. You want them taking a receiver or an offensive lineman, right? Because then that throws a wrench into everything. Now, are you going to try to move up to take Michael Penix or Bo Nix? Because it's really probably two quarterbacks for three teams, like you mentioned, right? So that would be an awful, awful thing for the Denver Broncos if that played out that way. And if the Giants moved up, or if the Giants just stayed where they were and took a quarterback, that would not be a good night for the Broncos.
And it's not far-fetched, right? I mean, they need a quarterback. I know they have Daniel Jones locked up, but they did it wrong. He's not the answer to the quarterback question.
Hurt last year. You know, he had a neck injury, and then he tore his ACL, I think it was. So it wasn't a good year for him. They just signed him to an extension, but I think it's one of those extensions where it's really a two-year deal.
Okay.
It's you're always looking for a young, cheap quarterback, and so if they like one of those guys, I don't think they would hesitate to take a quarterback.
Me neither. All right, and then lastly, let's fast forward to 12. If it's Bo Nix and it's Brock Bowers, both on the board and Denver's on the clock, your selection is?
I would take Bo Nix.
You would?
I would. Got to have a quarterback, man. Got to have a quarterback. That's the bottom line. And that's, you know, that's obviously if you really like a guy like Bo Nix, you really love him. If you don't, you take the tight end. So the quarterback position is, you know, obviously so much more valuable than the tight end position. So, but like, you got to love him. If you don't love him, then you take Bowers, obviously, there. But if it's close, you take your quarterback. I mean, and I think that's how Sean Payton's going to operate in that situation. And, you know, hopefully you can stay there and have that type of an option. So there you go, Sean. You got a couple good options here.
Yeah.
You know, which way are you going to go? That would be a good scenario for the Denver Broncos, where you don't have to move up and trade a lot of your assets, et cetera, et cetera. You can stay there, and you got a couple nice choices offensively to kind of jumpstart this offense.
Broncos country, love to hear your answers on that. A couple of those things, right? What would it look like if it was just a race between the Vikings, the Broncos, and the Raiders, and only two quarterbacks available in Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr.? And then if you got to 12 and Bo Nix and Brock Bowers were both on the board, who are you selecting if you got your GM hat on today? Answer the question at 303-713-1043. It's the RamosLaw.com text line. We'll come back, react to your text, and get you set for tonight. What's going down in the NBA play-ins? The Rockies are in action. And we also have an update on the Broncos' new jersey. That was a fun little tease by the Broncos. We'll get into that next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
I'm chilling on a dirt road, laid back, swerving like I'm George Jones. Smoke rolling out the window, and ice cold beer sitting in the console.
That's our final segment on a Wednesday. We were chatting about the Broncos and the draft and the things that could go down on Thursday night in 8 days from right now that would shake some things up. Catch up with a few of you on the text line. Asked you if it would Bo Nix or Brock Bowers, who would you take in that spot? And we'll react to a few of those. Somebody's saying still trade back if both are on the board. You're going to lose one for sure, but you and I haven't been opposed to trading back either.
No.
Depending on the circumstance.
No, definitely not opposed to it. Gathering more draft capital, a lot of needs on this team, obviously, but trade back if you don't like Bo Nix, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you like Bo Nix, you take Bo Nix. I'm not trading back and hoping that he falls. You just take your quarterback. Is it 10 picks too soon? 8 picks too soon? I really don't care. It doesn't matter if you get your quarterback, right? So I think that's the bottom line is you don't gamble at the quarterback position. So if it's if you don't love him, then, yeah, I'm fine with trading back.
Yeah, and I guess that's probably your same answer for this texter that says, what if they just punt completely on the quarterback position?
I don't want to punt on the quarterback position, no.
No, but with 12.
What?
With the 12th pick, not overall.
I want a first-round quarterback,
right.
But I don't want to take a quarterback just to take a quarterback. I mean, does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
So, if it falls that way where we don't get a quarterback in the first round, I'm okay with that. All right, take your quarterback in the third round. It is what it is. I just don't want to force the issue here. I think that's the biggest thing for the Broncos. That's how you go from being bad to worse and you set yourself back for years is you try to make something happen out of nothing. If it's there, you attack it, you do it, and you pick the guy. If it's not, then okay, cool. Let's find another good football player. So I'm very flexible in this situation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm not like, hey, this is what it's got to be, or, you know, it's an awful decision by the Broncos. No. It's like I think you got to be very fluid and flexible in the situation because we have to react to what other teams are doing. And so I think there's different scenarios where I could be like, all right, that worked out well, that worked out well. But I think ultimately the bottom line is sooner or later you got to find a quarterback.
Yeah.
You're not making it anywhere with what we have right now.
No, you're not.
Right?
Nope.
And unless you have a perfect roster around a Jared Stidham, which we don't. So that's not the answer. So sooner or later you're going to have to swing for the fence and you're going to have to take a quarterback. I'd just rather it be this year. But don't force the issue.
All right, that's very well said. Staying on the football world, but to the college level, you're not on the gram. Right, you don't do the Insta.
Nope.
Well, you know the Sanders do, right?
I'm sure they do.
Shiloh Sanders,
yeah.
Instagram yesterday. I'm sure he shared it on both. I saw it on Instagram. When I say both, Twitter and Instagram, it's just a big old logo of the Buffs. Right, there's the Buffs logo right in the middle of it, and then it says defense transfers DM me. Right underneath that, offense transfers DM at Shador Sanders. And then underneath that, in parentheses, it reads, this not last chance you.
Okay.
Is this weird? Is it, or is this just 2024 and the spring portal's open, and this is how people recruit now.
No, it's definitely weird and odd and different.
That's how I feel, too.
But I think it's also, this is 2024.
Okay.
And this is how, you know, this is how you can recruit. So why not use it as a tool, right? So I think it's both, actually, for me. It's yeah, it's like, what are we doing here? This is silly. This is, but this is how young people go about their business now, right?
Yeah.
Everything is filmed. You're looking for your brand. You're doing social media. And so this is kind of where we're at in the world, and this is how things are done. And so I think it's both things for me. What about you?
I don't know. I think it's weird. I guess I understand that it's 2024 and this is how it works, but it just still seems – I mean, I don't know, man. And it's also – we know it's such a slippery slope, and it's just the Wild West of – like, is there any – so can players on college teams just do whatever they want? You can go recruit. You can, hey, come with me. I got us on a night out. It's all on me. You need a new whatever. It's on me. I'm going to take care of this. Like, is that all up in the air? That's all available for an option?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's a wild, wild west. It's crazy times.
Like, if you're Shador and you want your wide receiver, but that wide receiver doesn't have an NIL deal or doesn't have a, you know what? I just got the new Tesla truck. The Porsche just sits. You want to drive that thing? Come on to Colorado. It's yours for the semester.
I don't know. I would assume you could do kind of whatever you want, especially if you're just his teammate. You're not a booster.
Right.
And so it's, I don't know what the fine line is and what the rules are when it comes to players reaching out to other players to recruit them, but can they reach out to you, you know, via social media? Is that all right? Like, hey, hit me up, DM me, right, if y'all are looking to come here. If they reach out to you, it's all good. You can't. I don't know. I don't know all the rules. It seems like they're changing so much. so I'm assuming it's all good. And this is just kind of the way of college football, college sports these days.
What does this not last chance you mean?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it could have been phrased a little bit better.
Right. Like is he.
This isn't last chance you, maybe?
Yeah.
What do you think, Kisner? Chicken fingers? I mean, how would you phrase it? Did you do good?
This not last chance you.
I mean, the first thing that came to my mind was the TV show.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't
know the grammar.
Yeah.
We know what last chance you is.
That's
the grammar. What do you make of the grammar?
I have no idea.
Yeah, okay.
I don't get it.
Oh, okay.
I'm with you guys.
You weren't paying attention.
He was.
We can tell. Just go back to doing Angry Birds. It's all good. Don't worry about it.
He gave us the point at the screen.
Right.
That's
what, like,
we know.
I'm working on the screen over
your
podcast
here.
Oh, thank you.
Oh,
thank
okay.
You. Go listen
thanks.
To our podcast.
Yeah. Maybe just tell us that whenever we ask you instead of just.
But yeah, I had it in one ear too.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what Dion and Shador are saying. I don't get it.
So certainly they're referencing Last Chance You. Maybe, hey, here's my guess.
Okay.
Last chance you what? That's your last chance.
Right.
Okay, maybe you've had two chances. You come to Colorado, hey, well, this isn't it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we'll take you in. No? Bueller?
Maybe.
Like, this isn't last chance you. Like, we'll welcome you here.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah?
I took it as, like, we don't want that. If you're on your last chance, like, you know, if you're running out of opportunities because of grades or getting yourself in trouble, don't DM.
No. That's why. That's yours is worse than mine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm glad you admitted yours is bad, though.
Right. But no, I think mine's really good.
Okay.
I do.
Really?
I think it's better than yours.
Okay.
Right?
No. I don't know. I thought mine was good.
Because he says this ain't
last
chance you. That means it's not.
Yeah, this not last chance you.
That's what he said, this not?
This not.
He should have said this ain't.
He should have.
This not last chance you, that means it's not your last chance.
Yeah.
But you're just saying that you said.
But I'm just saying, like, they don't want that kind of player.
Oh, I think yours is better than mine.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
I apologize.
Yes.
I apologize. Yeah, you might be.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes. Yeah. It took me a second.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm a little bit slow. Sometimes it takes me a little bit to get there.
Got there.
See, I thought you were way off, but actually I think you're, like, more on than me. So,
right,
there we go.
Yeah.
I can admit when I'm wrong.
All right, I like that.
Yeah.
I like
just
that.
Just takes me a little time sometimes.
That's okay.
All right, yeah. I could see how it could mean that then, certainly. So, all right, that just Could be better grammar, probably.
That might be, too, yeah. Well, we know they're not going to class, right? They do it all online. So
right, yeah.
They're not in class asking class. Questions.
Always, I mean, it's playing football for money.
Right.
School? Oh, school?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
They already have a job.
Right. I'm working.
All right, before we talk about these play-in games for tonight, I heard this from Jim Harbaugh, and I think Jim Harbaugh is a crazy kind of fun person, so I wanted to play it for you. You know he's sleeping in the RV, right?
Yeah.
He's right at the facility. They got to get their living situation figured out, get a new house and all that good stuff. So he is living in an RV, and he was talking about life in an RV.
I'll tell you, some of the nights it was raining, is there a better night's sleep that you could get?
No.
In an RV when it's raining?
With the rain's hitting the top of it? No way. No.
Put you right to sleep. The RV, I can speak. This has been a help to winning, to working, and
no question. Winning in football, is there anything like it?
It's cured more ills than penicillin.
There you go.
That is a known scientific fact.
Well, who's his hype man? Who's that guy that's...
He's giving a tour of his RV. I don't know who he's talking to.
But it's like his hype man.
It is.
I mean, whoever's doing the interview, just can I hear Jim?
They're just setting him up.
Right, but they keep on, right. Yo, tell them, coach. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't. The rains, is that good for you? Like, I don't know. That might keep me up. Like,
well, don't you use a sound machine?
I do.
But you use air, or it sounds like air? What setting do you
white
have?
Noise.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So I don't hear all the rain and stuff.
Okay, because I actually like the rain. I want to hear rain when I'm sleeping.
You do?
Yeah.
So you would like that.
I would
but like
that a lot.
That would be like more of a ping, 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 ping.
Yeah, but like I know what it is. I guess it's like playing a trick on my own brain.
Huh.
It would make me comfortable.
Yeah. No, I don't like that. I don't like that. That would freak me out.
Really?
Yeah, KKFN, it's the one on my door.
No whistle.
That was good.
I couldn't believe it. I just looked up and it was right at 0-0-57-0-0.
I was aware too. I just screwed it all up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I would like the rain a little bit. And then also, actually, this just popped into my head. What's green noise? I keep seeing commercials for that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have that setting.
Would I not be able to hear it because I'm colorblind?
No, I don't think that has anything to do with it.
Okay.
It's all about hearing.
Okay.
Well,
why do they call it
anything
green?
To do with seeing. I don't know. Maybe try it out and tell me.
Okay.
I've never seen that setting before.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've never seen it. It got one of those sound machines with all the different settings.
Mm-hmm.
White noise and whatever. I don't think there's a green noise on
it. I saw a commercial for it.
Yeah. That might be the updated ones. The updated
ones,
so I don't know.
All right.
You know there's a thing called Google? Type it in. Say, what is green noise? And it will tell you. Maybe Chicken Fingers can do it when he loses on Doodle Jump.
His Doodle Jump still has a good pull, man.
Yeah, thank
that was
you.
A really good
I'm still
pull.
Searching Facebook.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
He's inviting people to his birthday dinner.
What do we got tonight? Who you like tonight?
All right,
got a couple Eastern Conference tonight, right? Not as exciting as the Western.
Definitely not.
With, you know, Steph, LeBron, Sabonis, Fox, and all those dudes, right? And you got Heat 76ers. Like, okay. I mean, I like Jimmy. Embiid's fun to watch. And then Hawks, Bulls.
Yeah.
Like, Hawks, like Trae Young and
the Hawks and the Bulls, the Hawks are 10 games under 500. And the Bulls they don't even have 40 wins. They're 39-43. They didn't even have an above 500 record at home. And they get to be in the play-in. I actually like the play-in, Stoke. I don't know how you feel about it. I think it's been really good for the NBA. I know that 10 seeds are 0-7 in this play-in situation since it's been introduced. So, sorry, Bulls. But this... Dude, I love basketball. I will not watch a second of Hawks Bulls.
I will.
You will?
Yeah.
I got no interest in that game.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like if there's nothing. Okay, the Rockies or Hawks Bulls? What would you rather watch?
I'm going to the Rocks, baby.
Oh my gosh, I'm all over Hawks Bulls. Especially if it's close. Like, I mean, if it's close late, I mean, that's great. If it's not, obviously, I'm not going to be all that invested in it. But not a lot going on tonight. I think the play-in games, I think at first it was like, what are we doing here? Guys, I mean, 10 teams are making the playoffs. You got four in the play-in games. Like, what? This is awful. But I think it's accomplishing what it set out to accomplish. It's making games at the end of the season more valuable and more meaning to those games. And then, like, you know, how good was last night? I mean, like, you're getting more eyes on your product. You're making more games. You just made more games happen. So what happens? You're growing your revenue. And so I think from the NBA's perspective, it's been a grand slam.
Yeah, I do too. I like 76ers. I like Philly to get it done in that one.
But again, see, like this, and I do too, but anybody with Jimmy Butler on their team, you got a chance.
Yeah.
And it's playoff atmosphere, right? I know it's playing game. Jimmy Butler is that dude. And we saw what he did last year for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Hero's back healthy. He was playing good for a while, so I think he's back healthy. And, you know, that Bam, obviously really athletic big guy there. I think it's a good competitive game, and I wouldn't be surprised if Miami pulled off the upset there.
Well, Jimmy has like a little Jamal, or I should say Jamal has a little Jimmy because it came first. Like, Jimmy turns it on. When the postseason turns, like 6 to 8 points a game extra is what he has, and I would expect to see that tonight against the Sixers. So
Hawks,
I think it'll be tight. The Hawks Bulls.
Like, well, Bulls, Chicago at home, favored by 3.5. I mean, like, I'll watch it because it's either that or the Rockies, and I'm not watching the Rockies. So, but other than that, like, Hawks Bulls, all right, I just hope
that's where the play-in loses me with that stuff.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter if it's a close game in the end. I don't care who it is. Close, tight game in the end, last 2 minutes, that's all you really want to see in these type of situations. So hopefully that's what it is. And, you know, Trae Young, DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
Alex Caruso.
That's right.
I see ya.
All right, we'll react to it tomorrow. We'll be a week away from the NFL draft tomorrow, so we'll certainly start to ramp that up a bit more and get ready for the Avs regular season finale. Zach Bye, Phillip Lindsay sliding in. They are the drive. What's going on, boys?
What's up, boys? Cool boy cut over there. I see you rocking it. It's that
shout
nice
out.
Part over there. Look at
great clip. Shout
that's,
out.
No, that's a Sport Clips MVP. Thank you for asking.
Yes. Thank you for asking. Yes. Hey, they did a great job, by the way.
Priscilla killed it.
Goodness, great shot. Great job, Priscilla.
All right, Priscilla.
Looking good, man. Look at you.
Thanks, man. How you guys doing?
Great. We're good, man. We're fired up, excited that they got the Lakers. We obviously spent a ton of time talking about Jonte Porter today.
Yes, yeah. What a story.
Crazy.
From the NBA for what he did to himself betting on games.
Well, did you see the story that came out yesterday? It was yesterday or the day before that he had the FanDuel VIP account in Colorado.
Yeah, we were talking about
Action Network.
And we talked about it yesterday. And in the article after article, good news for Jonte. He never bet on the NBA. He never bet on the NBA. And we talked about the story. I said, that's not good news. It's bad news. If he's betting millions of dollars and he doesn't make millions of dollars, there is a dark turn coming to this story, and it's literally the next day he gets banned for life from the NBA.
Where is he getting the money to bet
That's
millions
exactly
of dollars?
That's exactly what we were saying. I was asking
Where is
the
that
same thing.
Money coming from? And I referenced Shohei and his interpreter. Yeah. It's like, okay, well, this guy, he's never, you know, his career, you said he made a couple million?
$2 million, just north of $2 million.
And this isn't, you know, Shohei's interpreter. You bet with the bookie, that's credit.
Mm-hmm.
FanDuel, DraftKings, BetRivers, you got to have the money beforehand,
yes.
Right? So that's a lot of money that he was betting, and he's not making really that much money to bet at that level. So it's just like, you know, you start thinking, it's like, all right, you know, is there more to this story? And it's like the NBA, I just saw on the bottom of the screen here, and it's changing by the hour here.
Yeah.
But the NBA is turning over their investigation or giving their investigation to the federal authorities, whatever that means. You know what I'm saying? So this isn't
Big
anything
time.
That is just NBA level and like, okay, you're done. Nothing to see here. There's other stuff here, and I don't know if there's criminal charges being filed for fraud or something that you could.
My guess would be
criminal.
Yes. My guess would be BS. Wow. Yeah,
because
absolutely.
Of the amount of money.
Ooh, criminal.
No, because you're messing with the fabric of competition.
Okay.
You know, and when you start doing that, I mean, that'd be my guess. I'm not in the criminal justice system, so I don't know what the charge would be. But my guess is absolutely federal charges. That's why you would get the feds involved. And then, and Stoke, you're asking the same question that Phil asked yesterday. It's like, where's all this money coming from? I mean, is it?
And we don't want to put it out there.
No.
You know?
No, but
we're all thinking it.
But it would be naive to think. See, his brothers are always around.
Yes.
Jonte and Corbin, they spend a ton of time together. And to think that Michael in any way, shape, or form couldn't be involved, no one's saying he is, but we're just talking it out here as
the
story is breaking today, to think that he there's no way, shape, or form he could possibly be involved is totally naive.
Or
that's
just
all.
Help Bell and his brother out. We've talked about this in the past, Zach, where it's like, hey, your family gets involved, something happens, you can help bail him out from something. You're going to probably do it. You're going to probably help out. It's just one of them things that nobody wants to talk about because we don't want to put things out there that are not true. But you have to start thinking, like, how is he getting this money?
And Nothing's wrong with, you know, loaning your brother money.
No.
Right? So,
nope,
so like, no. If he just loaned his brother money, nothing's wrong with that. It's only if he was involved with things that were going on there. But obviously, then you fast forward and look at that, and hopefully nothing is there for him. But then you ask yourself, well, how does this going to affect Michael Porter Jr.
Yes.
on Saturday?
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Can he compartmentalize this? Can he move past this? Is he, you know, can't wait to get on the court so he doesn't think about this? But to think that, like, it's not weighing on him at all, that this just happened to his brother, and, you know, all of a sudden, like, are you sleeping as well? Like, this,
right.
That's your brother.
Right.
And now, you know, maybe he's going to jail for this. Certainly he's never playing the NBA again.
Never playing.
Got to impact you on the court at some level.
Well, how would you go to jail for this, though?
Like, if you got hit with federal charges equal prison. Mm. You know, if you're found guilty, and it'll be some low minimum. You know, if you were to game it out in your head and this would be guilty, then he'd probably go to some, you know, low security prison. But the thing is,
it's still prison.
It's
Corbin Porter.
Yes,
killed someone in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
13 months ago,
mm-hmm.
and has, like, from my understanding, has been living with Michael, mm-hmm. and awaiting his sentence. So it's like, dude, this is a lot.
It's messy.
Just as a human being. And by the way, let's turn the coin over as opposed to where did he get all the money? Maybe Michael Porter Jr. had literally nothing to do with, like, had no, maybe Jonte was embarrassed to even share it with him. Their stuff, you know, my brother doesn't know about me and nor me with him,
sure.
despite talking all the time and mm-hmm. being brothers. And so it's sticky, it's messy. But here's a question that I want to ask. And I am totally spitballing here. Legalized gambling started popping up around the country, I don't know, 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the states, it was like dominoes. Kind of like the legalized marijuana, mm-hmm. right? Colorado's first and just do-do-do-do-do, all the states. Most of them anyway. In football, we have had dozens of players get in trouble. Dozens. None in basketball?
Mm.
None? And I know that's a bigger league with a larger pool of players, but even reduce it down to the whatever ratio it is. This is the first one. This is the question I want to ask. The NBA, more than any other league, maybe in the entire world, views the players as partners.
Mm.
They don't even use the word owners anymore. They're governors. They're viewed as they're together in this. And I wonder if there has been red flags pop up in the past with more household names and they get called, or the principal comes to the hometown and says, hey, dude, there's some stuff here. Knock it off immediately.
Yeah.
You could face a lifetime ban. And Jonte Porter is the perfect intersection from someone that most fans have never heard of.
Yep.
Never, ever, ever. He's on a two-way, and it's the perfect sacrificial lamb to put on the crucifix and say, this is what happens if you're caught. I just think there's so many examples in the NFL and not one in the NBA.
Mm.
I find that strange.
Point.
Crazy.
I find that strange where teams have had three guys on a team get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Us in Denver, Indianapolis, Atlanta. I mean, it's just like the list goes on.
What are their rules in the NBA? You know, because some of these players in football, they got in trouble for not betting on football, but betting a different sport at their facility.
Yeah, right in
right?
the facility.
So in the NBA, can they bet on football games at their facility? That's an NFL
rule. I don't know what.
Right?
Interesting. Yeah.
That's not like a state rule or a law. That's an NFL rule.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the NBA rule. They might navigate those waters a little bit differently when it comes to gambling. Like, hey, you know, just you can't gamble on basketball, but you can gamble on football, baseball,
horse racing
at our facility. Yeah, it doesn't matter. So I don't know what those rules are there when it comes to the NBA.
It's obviously way different because I'm not a player. But when I was an employee of the Denver Nuggets, I couldn't bet on basketball. And I had to sign a piece of paper that said I wouldn't bet on basketball. And every year at the beginning of the basketball season, I, along with my other coworkers, would take a training class about not betting on sports.
So how much did you bet on basketball, and how did you get away with it?
Well,
so long.
Yeah. You know what I didn't do?
It was amazing. It was amazing that you did that. Can you give us some insight on that,
I didn't
that,
risk my $5 bet for my career is what I didn't do.
Because you're a smart guy, Josh.
That's right.
I mean, just unbelievable news, though.
Breaking news.
Crazy.
And this is just the tip of the iceberg, because what he was betting – or in what he was telling friends to bet
right.
was just over under
yes.
prop bets.
Yes.
Yeah. And thought he could get away with it, but you know, you go from $1,000 to, you know, $80,000
yeah.
where
yeah.
someone can win $1.1 million.
And that's that screenshot. That was that screenshot.
That's gonna be red flags all over the place.
Do you think his buddies
are in trouble? Yes.
Right, because they're going to get charged as well with the same sort of
insider info.
My guess would be yes.
I mean,
it would be some sort of federal charge relating to insider information messing with the fabric of an up
right.
and up athletic,
yeah.
Ordained competition. So it's wild, man. And you know how I remember the day you said, "Hey, you said that screenshot. You said they won't let you bet that amount of money, but the VIPs can.
Right.
If you achieve VIP status, they'll let you bet as much as you want.
Which, how do you get to the VIP status?
You
how?
Bet a ton.
Okay.
You bet a ton.
That's what I figured.
It's the, you spent so much money at our casino.
Yep.
We're going to fly you home private.
Bam.
Here's your card. Here's
we're gonna
your
fly,
card.
You were so kind. We're going to fly you home private. FanDuel. Oh, this guy. You know what? Up his bets. Same with Shohei. You grow to that limit.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
You grow your limit. So... And that's a whole nother thing. I still can't.
In this case, he was losing a lot and still getting his stuff to grow.
Stay away from Shohei. He did nothing wrong.
Do you realize the amount bet, what he was making? It was 30% of his income over that time.
Are you serious?
Yep. To think that he did not notice that amount of money is
insane.
Yeah, but come on. Listen. 30% of his what income? Of his baseball salary income?
Yes.
Not his endorsements.
Right.
So to think that he doesn't have 10 times that from endorsements in Japan and over here, I would say like –
But
that was just a drop in the bucket.
On,
like
Caitlin,
a few million here, a few
Caitlin Clark, $75,000 yeah. if 25 was missing, even with all her endorsements. Think she would notice?
Shohei's got so
you're,
much,
you're
bro.
A man that looks at your account every day. I can tell you right now. At your dude, you know
dude,
what's
dude,
missing.
I check my account 3-4 times a day.
Yeah.
Seriously. But not Shohei.
Not everyone's like that. Because you got so much, man. Ball till you fall.
I love it. With that, we are off and rolling. It's a rematch with LeBron and the Lakers that the world will be watching. What does our early gut say about the matchup? That's where we'll start coming up next.